everybody, and welcome back to Thank Godzilla It's Friday, where it is Friday, probably, 1 out of 7 chance you're listening to this on Friday, but whether or not it's Friday, it is Godzilla, but we released this on Friday.
It's a nice, clear, clean, concise opening there, William.
You know, every once in a while I try to experiment, and I always regret it. My name is William Bibbiani, I am a critic, I write for The Wrap, I write for Film Verdict sometimes, everybody calls me Bibbs.
My name is Whitney Seibold, I am a senior staff writer at Slash Film.
And you'll never let me live it down.
I'm not holding it over you or anything. It's my job.
Now I'm happy for you. Anyway,
this is our Godzilla podcast. You know that this is a Patreon podcast.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not? Okay. I lost track. Apologies. Well, welcome then.
Welcome.
Patreon and non-Patreon alike.
Yes.
We like having you here, whether you subscribe or not.
This is a regular old podcast. This is our podcast where we review every single Godzilla and Godzilla-adjacent movie. We do have stuff on Patreon that is Patreon-exclusive, in addition to getting all of our new podcasts ad-free, and you get Thank Godzilla It's Friday a week early every week. We do have other stuff as well.
Mm.
We just released an episode of our Only the Best podcast, where we review every single movie ever nominated for Best Picture. We just did the best picture nominees in 1955.
55.
And we literally just did that one, so that's why Whitney is still in that mode. But we're going to talk about Godzilla, and
I've also had a lot of late nights in a row. I'm really delirious.
I'm very tired.
I've had 8 shots of gin, and I'm ready to talk about Godzilla.
You're holding out on me. I didn't have any of that gin. Anyway, we're doing Godzilla's. We are already in a mood. This is great.
And we're talking about a wacky one, because GMK colon, Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, colon, Giant Monsters All-Out Attack, to cite the full title of the film, is frustrating because they rebooted it again.
Right.
Like, we just did that.
Well, that seems to be the ethos of the Millennium Era, where every single one is kind of an anthology film.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily interconnected. I believe only 2 of them are officially interconnected. Tokyo SOS and I think Godzilla Against Mechagodzilla.
Yeah.
I think are interconnected. We haven't gotten to those yet. Every single one of these is its own thing. And this one is a huge divergence from every Godzilla thing we've seen before.
It feels like a Gamera film, and I'll expound on what I mean by that in a little bit. Yeah. But that's fitting because the director was actually better known for Gamera Pictures before making this movie.
Yeah.
I feel like Godzilla 2000 and Godzilla versus Megaguirus could be, like, there's only a few details that don't connect them.
If you squint, you can kind of
blur up your eyes a little bit and say that those are in the same continuity, and that the one after this is also in that same continuity. This one is definitely outside. It's a different Godzilla. It looks different. Godzilla has different, silver eyes.
It has a different origin. Yeah. And we're as you may have noticed in the title, some of our favorite monsters are back. Mothra is back. King Ghidorah is back. Baragon is back. I was surprised to discover how popular Baragon was. No. Apparently he was considered like a big draw. All of them are very, very different. In fact, the main premise of Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters All-Out Attack, is Godzilla, just like the other 2 Millennium films we've seen so far, he attacked in the 50s, and that's the only canon. Mm. He's back. He is very evil. Like, not an anti-hero. He's a vengeful demon, basically. And in order to stop Godzilla, Japan has to unleash 3 guardian monsters to protect the people of Japan. And the country and the countryside, and those monsters are Baragon, kind of out of character for Baragon, but whatever. Mothra, totally a thing Mothra would do.
Yeah.
And our biggest hero, King Ghidorah. Now, that is the only time, this is the only time King Ghidorah is a hero in any of these movies.
Imagine Jason Voorhees is back. He's killing people at Camp Crystal Lake.
Yeah.
They don't know how to stop him.
Yeah.
And they say, I have a great idea.
Yeah.
We're going to get Chucky and Freddy Krueger and Michael Myers, and they will protect us. And there's scenes of Michael Myers pushing kids to safety.
Yeah.
and like leaping out in front of Jason Voorhees, or Freddy Krueger saying, "Hey, it's okay, I got this."
Yeah,
like being really reassuring before he like goes up against Jason.
It's a strange sight, and I'm gonna say this right now. I'm not gonna be precious about this. I don't care, honestly. Like it's weird, but the idea that we're gonna do something different with these characters, it's fiction.
Yeah,
and they are being very, very clear, and especially in this millennium era. There's no such thing as canon.
Mm.
So this is just an alternate universe, a multiverse story, if you will, by modern parlance, in which it's like those Superman comics or those DC comics where there's an alternate reality where the Justice League are the bad guys and the Joker is and Lex Luthor are the Earth's greatest heroes.
All right.
Fine. Whatever. Let's do it.
I'm okay with that to a degree. I feel like there's something to be said for the creativity that's required to continue a series, especially when you think you're done with every chapter. Like, well, crap, how are we going to bring them back now? Rather than just saying, we'll just ignore it and start again. It's like, okay, fine, you can be creative, you can do whatever the heck you want. They're just making it up. But I appreciate when they at least try.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a frustration there. Well, the thing that bothers me, though, I do not accept King Ghidorah as a good guy.
Well, that's the thing.
That's the Godzilla snot in me. I'm okay with Baragon. I'm okay with other monsters fighting Godzilla, because Godzilla was the monster, you know, the villain from the start. And Godzilla kind of goes back and forth.
He's fought Mothra before.
Between being a hero and being a villain. They fight and then they team up. That kind of stuff.
Yeah,
that's all fine. Yeah. I don't mind Godzilla being a
But it's really out of character for King Ghidorah.
Yeah, King Ghidorah. This is the only time King Ghidorah. I'm dropping stuff. King Ghidorah is heroic here, and I can't see it. I can't accept it.
No, it is very, very, it's a very, very strange sight. There is some explanation for this, and this is, a lot of people, you know, when they look at some of the more disastrous movies, they'll point to things like studio notes. Look at what the studio did to Zack Snyder's Justice League, for example. Studio notes are nothing new. They have been screwing with movies since time immemorial.
You can buy books about like the worst studio notes that actual filmmakers receive.
And whether or not you consider this egregious or not, this was one of those cases. The director of the film, Shusuke Kaneko, he pitched a couple of ideas to Toho. One was going to be about an astronaut who goes into space and gets irradiated or something and grows gigantic. That would have been cool, but we didn't do that. But the pitch it was going to be Godzilla. We're going to go back to Godzilla being the bad guy. Done that before. It's not the norm now, but we do it. And he was going to have him fight three monsters, but the monsters were not going to be the ones with nearly as much baggage.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be Baragon, fine. Anguirus, who was Godzilla's canonical best friend, but hasn't been seen in a long time. And Varan.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen Varan since Destroy All Monsters, and even then it was only briefly.
Yeah.
And Varan is just one of those guys who, like, they keep wanting to bring Varan back, and they never do. And apparently the director was actually kind of really bummed out that Toho said, we can do this script if you replace Varan and Anguirus with Mothra and King Ghidorah, because we think that's the only way this is going to make money.
Yeah, sell the more popular monsters.
Baragon, everyone likes Baragon. No, we're not objecting to Baragon, but Baragon's
cute. Baragon's got, like, big floppy puppy ears on this one. It's kind of cute.
I got no objection to Baragon. He's nowhere near my favorite. I was legitimately surprised to discover how popular Baragon was. But Baragon was considered a big draw, which is weird, because he hasn't been in a movie in forever. Mothra and King Ghidorah sell tickets. Fair enough, but we're arbitrarily replacing them. Like other characters in this script, and they're filling roles that aren't kind of a Mothra role, but definitely not a King Ghidorah role.
Yeah.
Which, again, it just feels like, okay, you want to have this Batman script in which Batman fights the Condiment King and the Joker. Well, we're not going to do the Condiment King. Instead, he's going to fight
the Riddler.
No, because that would make sense.
Well, have him fight the Riddler, but then
Wonder Woman.
Oh, there you go.
Wonder Woman. And with them, we're not going to say she's like mind controlled or something. She's just evil in this universe. And that would be weird.
Yeah.
That would be a weird thing to do. But we're doing it. We're stuck with it. And this is a very strange film in a variety of ways. There is one thing I like about this movie, though. And there's something, and this is considered one of the most popular Godzilla movies, actually. Mm. Which another thing I was a little surprised by, because I'm not a big fan.
I like the monster action,
yeah.
But otherwise I don't really like the storytelling. Well, it's a little bit, it feels like a little awkward. There's something I really appreciate, though. I'll let you go first, though.
Oh, no, it's fine. No, you go. I'll get to my point eventually.
Godzilla has been absent for 50 years.
Yeah.
And there's signs that Godzilla may be returning.
Yeah.
And this terrifies everyone. And in fact, somebody becomes so scared that Godzilla is about... We haven't even seen Godzilla yet.
Yeah.
Just Godzilla is about to come back. And people are going literally mad with fear.
Yeah.
That Godzilla is... And I appreciate that they're trying to at least... build Godzilla up as something really destructive and scary.
Yeah.
This is, you know, we're, how many films? Like 40 films into the series, but...
We're kind of taking Godzilla for granted sometimes. Yeah, exactly. And like, it's important to remember that this would be terrifying.
Reestablish that Godzilla is actually a big, scary thing.
Yeah. And again, you know, it's, Godzilla doesn't have any sort of anti-hero cred in this universe. He's just something destructive that happened before and is coming back to happen again. In the years since Godzilla has disappeared, he attacked, then he left, and he's just been laying low. Nobody, we didn't kill him. There's actually a big plot point where the Japanese government said we did kill him. In actuality, all of their weapons did nothing, and he disappeared of their own accord, and they've been hiding that. Because it made him look bad. It doesn't end up going anywhere, but it's interesting plot development.
Although they named... I don't think they actually say his name, but Dr. Sarazawa comes back. Like the scientist from the very first Godzilla.
Sort of, yeah.
I say, yeah, this guy developed this weapon that took care of Godzilla, and then he died and took all his notes with him.
Yeah.
Can you do it again? I mean, you were there.
Yeah, I don't know. But again, according to this universe, that didn't work.
Yeah.
So they've just been hiding that. That's been a retcon, which is fine. But in the years that followed, there have been other signs of giant monsters, which they've been keeping close tabs on. And indeed, the Americans seem to think that they were attacked by Godzilla in the late 90s. And there's a little joke at the beginning of the movie where they're saying, like, did Godzilla really attack the Americans? Well, they think so, but our experts don't agree.
Kind of weird that none of the other Godzilla movies, except for the American 1998 film, is canon in this universe.
Very, very strange. So,
a minute. So we actually have like a mini arc then. We have 1954 Gojira.
Yeah.
We have 1998 Godzilla.
Yeah.
And now we have GMK. Like that's another little mini continuity hiding throughout the Godzilla movies.
Anyway, the action kicks off when a U.S. submarine goes missing off the coast of Guam. And the Japanese send an experimental deep sea sub called the Satsuma, which will be important later, to investigate. And they see underwater... clear as day, or underwater, Godzilla.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, shit! And then credits, brand a Godzilla movie. And then, we do a bit of an about-face, and we cut to a small camera crew at Mount Miyoko, where our protagonist, our human protagonist, Yuri, she is giving a... she's in front of the camera, she's basically giving a report, talking about how this site is considered to be very haunted, gateway to another world, that kind of thing. And a bunch of locals show up and said, hey, when we gave you a permit to shoot this, we were told it was a documentary and now you're doing like a horror movie? What are we doing here? And they say, yeah, well, we do these kinds of sci-fi kind of like, TV shows. And they're like, well, that's incredibly disrespectful, and we'd like you to stop. And they say, hey, listen, you guys ever see the Blair Witch Project? Because Burkittsville saw a huge boost in its tourism trade after we did that. So we're going to Blair Witch this thing. And then they're like, oh, well, we do like money. And so they let them go by. Mm. And indeed, it's basically Blair Witch, but what if Godzilla? A little bit. Like, what if Heather Donahoe's character from Blair Witch was the protagonist, and instead of getting lost and, you know, falling prey to a witch, she stumbled into an ancient, you know, war between giant monsters.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what the movie Cloverfield is about.
Well, not plot-wise.
No, but...
Like, in terms of the concept of a found-footage Godzilla movie.
There's been a found-footage kaiju film in the past, is my point.
Well, there's been a couple, actually. Trollhunter.
That's right, Trollhunter.
Which is great, by the way.
Trollhunter is really good, yeah.
Yeah.
They're filming this, and that's when there's, like, an earthquake, and that's when Baragon comes out. And they only ever refer to it as the Red Monster.
Well, later on they name him. There's a bit, like, in the movie.
It's after Baragon's been...
Dead.
Been killed by Godzilla.
But by God, they do name him Baragon Godzilla for some reason.
Is so mean to Baragon.
Oh, like, I know.
Stomps on him and hits him.
Baragon tried really hard.
And then laughs at him.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. Because here's the thing with this movie is that a big chunk of it is just stuff from American-type horror movies. Like, Godzilla's going to attack and all these other monsters are going to be unleashed. And there's this really creepy old guy in the woods who keeps showing up. It's like the old guy at the beginning of Friday the 13th. You're all doomed.
It's got a death curse.
Doomed. Yeah. And we keep running into these, like, teenagers and college kids are all rowdy and shitty. Different ones. Mm. And every single one of them goes to some weird place and finds some kind of stone idol and then breaks it kind of randomly on their own by chance. And it turns out these things have been here for millennia to, like, protect the guardian monsters who have been living in these zones. And they just all happen decided to break them today. And we meet this biker gang, and they're being really mean to people. And sure enough, they unleash Baragon, and they all die.
They die in the earthquake. They got buried alive.
Yeah, and honestly, fuck them. They were rude. That's the idea we're supposed to have, right?
I think so. Well, you know, they got their comeuppance. That's the way horror movies tend to work.
There's also a group of kids at a lake. And they talk about drowning a dog.
That's right.
Those are terrible kids. The dog is fine, by the way. But they're like, there's a dog. And like, oh, I don't like that dog. We're going to take it out to the lake. And we're going to be really mean. It's all the shitty kids from the beginning of a slasher movie who die first. While they're out in the lake, they get pulled under and murdered by baby Mothra.
The larval Mothra. Yeah.
Which that's out of character for Mothra. Just randomly killing people.
Yeah,
I guess it's defending that dog, but it's not. There's no Infant Island. There's no twins. There's a couple of twins in the movie, but that's actually a throwback to one of the Gamera movies.
Which monster do you suppose? Was Baragon supposed to be?
And no, Baragon was supposed to be in there from the beginning.
Oh, okay. Well then, which one was Mothra supposed to be?
If I were to guess, I would say obviously the lake thing. The lake thing means it's Varan, because Varan
lived
lake.
In a lake.
Yeah. So that would mean Anguirus would have been the
would have been King Ghidorah.
Would have been King Ghidorah, yeah. That makes sense.
All right.
Yeah. King Ghidorah won't show up until a lot later. They were, like, saving him. He's in our back pocket. Yeah. But meanwhile, our protagonist, Yuri, is trying to prove herself as a reporter. He's very plucky. And I actually, and this is the thing I was going to say, I really like her. As a protagonist, okay. We don't get a lot of...
She has a lot of agency.
She has a lot of agency. She has an arc that actually kind of is relevant and affects the plot. She has a meaningful relationship with another character, her father. She wants to be a real reporter. That's what she wants. She wants to get out of this sort of, you know, mysterious mysteries of mysterious mystery... kind of rut that her career is in, and do some real journalism. And she puts in the legwork, and she uncovers this weird old guy who claims that, like, he tells her all about these guardian monsters. And she continues to investigate, and she discovers that all of that is apparently true. And then she's going to use her platform over the course of the film to try to tell everybody, inform the people, that while Godzilla is a threat, do not kill Baragon, do not try to kill Mothra and King Ghidorah, they're here to save us. Mm-hmm. And also, and this is an interesting wrinkle, Godzilla, although he was technically created through nuclear radiation, he's also a mystical monster now, because Godzilla is literally haunted by the ghosts of everyone Japan killed or allowed to be killed in World War II.
Godzilla is a spirit of vengeance in this one. And they say that pretty straightforward, that Godzilla is the ghost monster. And the three other monsters are said to be not just sort of protector monsters in the logic of kaiju films that we've come to accept.
Right.
Where when two kaiju meet, they just fight, and that's kind of the just the way this universe works. In this one, it's more like I was reminded of the dream demons from Freddy's Dead, like those little snake things that possessed Freddy.
I don't think that's the best comparison, but I'm curious how you mean that.
Well, just in that they are possessed by these protective counter ghosts, these other kinds of spirits.
Their spirits are relevant, not just their bodies. Yeah, because like when they die, their energy
the monsters,
does stuff.
Yeah, the monsters don't. They're not acting out of a sense of righteousness. They're not beings with agency. They're possessed by spirits of righteousness.
Yeah.
That's new.
That is a new thing. I will give you that. And I think I think
that element like we've seen somewhat mystical stuff in Godzilla films before, notably the rebirth of Mothra films. There was a lot of like magic going on in those ones.
That was in particular, And then honestly Mothra's always had a bit of that.
Psychic link to these, you know, magical fairies.
And he was a religious, or she was a religious figure as well. But here, everything has got a mystical bent, and that is indeed new. And I actually like that they made this like really, really important. The idea that why has Godzilla returned now? That's a question. Like, why?
Yeah.
And why always Japan? Well, he's returning apparently because, and I'm curious, I don't know if there was like a straw that broke the camel's back on this or something, but apparently according to the film, Japan has tried to move on from World War II so much that they are ignoring their past, that they are minimizing the damage that they caused in and around World War II, and Godzilla is here to remind them of that and make sure they know that although this may be a generational thing, they are still responsible.
Yeah.
And this is something that Takashi Yamazaki, who directed Godzilla Minus One, he said he said this movie subconsciously influenced his movie.
Ah, okay.
And I think that sense of national responsibility is something that really connects to it. There's also a like one action-y bit, but I feel like the theme is more... better fleshed out in Godzilla Minus One, that's for sure.
Well, because that takes place during World War II. Yeah, I can see that theme, and I can see that's why what the filmmakers were going for. This film was shot in August of 2001.
Yeah.
By the time it was released, that theme changed. In September of 2001, that was the World Trade Center incident, and Godzilla is now this vengeful spirit of war from the past.
Yeah.
Now takes on a little bit of a different meaning.
This weapon of mass destruction we brought on ourselves feels very subversive suddenly, all of a sudden. Yeah. Although it is in a very different context. Mm. And indeed, there was discussion of releasing this film in theaters in America, and it was considered to be somewhat in poor taste.
Yeah.
After the events of 9/11. So, many films were considered to be in poor taste.
It's a Japanese film. Yeah. I understand it's not being made with American sensibilities in mind.
Yeah.
But,
and like many films that were being, like many works of art that were in production before 9/11, after 9/11, there was discussion of, is now really the time to release some of all fears in which a nuclear bomb blows up on American soil? Right. Like maybe give it a little distance. Mm. Was a concern, and I think some of those were very legit, and I think some were massive overreactions.
Yes, Some of All Fears is a really good movie, but you're not going to want to watch that in the early 2000s.
No.
In fact, you go back and it feels really dated. It's about another film about like dated Soviet bombs.
Oh,
and stuff.
I disagree actually, because that at the time they were concerned that the whole the idea that the terrorists in the bad guys quotes in the movie. Would be, they didn't want it to be the cliches that they'd gone through in the 90s, so they said it's white supremacists. And I remember movie came out, there was a lot of criticism saying, oh, please. Like, white supremacists are going to come back and threaten the world in the 21st century. I think we might owe some of All Fears an apology. It tried to warn us. I'm just saying. But, in any case, this level of destruction wasn't necessarily what everyone was looking for. Although this movie was a huge hit in Japan.
Hmm.
And again, it's very beloved and it's considered one of the better films. I there are things that make me less invested in this movie. And I will say this. I do not like the Godzilla costume in this one.
Okay.
Godzilla is... the ghostly eyes, I'm fine with. I can live with that. That's okay. It looks like his flesh is hanging off of his bones. He doesn't look muscular. He looks very saggy. And there's something about that that really makes it look more like a costume than ever before. Like, we're looking at an off-brand Godzilla. And also, he moves very quickly in this one. And that's something that doesn't really sell the scale.
That's what I was going to comment on. Especially in that horrible scene where he's stomping on poor Paragon. Yeah. The Godzilla actors, the suit performers, the monster actors, we're always looking for ways to make the suits work a little bit better for them.
Yeah.
Where they would have, like, a greater range of movement, and they could actually, like, act a little bit better.
Yeah.
I know sometimes they were reconstructed just to be a little bit lighter. Usually they had to get old suits, and they were kind of rotting away in some cases. But this one, it looks like they did go a little bit too far. Like, the actor inside is very live and is jumping around a lot.
And it's a different actor, someone who hasn't been in the role before. And that part of that might be in just their interpretation of the character. But also, a director, if they didn't want that, they could have told them do something else. So every single thing in a movie is a conscious decision, even if it's just to leave a mistake in. So, you know, there's that. Something to be considered. But
I'm going to look up who played... who's the actor for Godzilla?
Godzilla. And by the way, Yuri's dad, by the way, is like a big defense guy. He's like a general. And this will be important later. Godzilla's going to attack. Oh, he's going to attack. He attacks so much.
Godzilla, the actor who played Godzilla is named Mizuho Yoshida. And he starred as Legion in one of the Gamera movies.
Okay.
And was also Des Ghidorah and Degara in the Rebirth of Mothra movie.
Nice.
So maybe this filmmaker is like really rolling with that vibe, like the 90s vibe. And we complained a lot about how those movies were very kind of like nonsensically childish, like in a way that even stands apart from other Godzilla movies.
Yeah. I mean, there's that, and that's true. And that's something that happens with these sort of long running. Any kind of narrative, really, whether it's TV or comics or video games or movies, if it goes long enough, even there might even be like an outlier, like one weird one that they tried and it didn't work and it wasn't popular, but at some point down the line, somebody saw that and that was their first one.
Yeah.
So the weird Godzilla movie was your first Godzilla movie, so that's the one you like. And now all of a sudden, those people grow up and some of them are actually put in charge of Godzilla, and now all of a sudden the thing that some people
I want to make a movie like that one.
Yeah, they didn't take it seriously, but that's someone's favorite, and now all of a sudden that is becoming more canonical, and we see that a lot with look what happened with the DCEU, for example, where The Dark Knight, which was supposed to be this Elseworlds type story, suddenly became this like guiding aesthetic. You know, like
everything had to be dark and shadowy now.
Well, dark and shadowy is one thing, but like literally like they put him in that Superman fighting costume at the end of Batman v Superman.
Batman
v Superman is not a literal translation of the final bit from
talking about the Dark Knight Returns.
That's talking about the Dark Knight Returns. Sorry, yeah. Oh God, I'm so tired.
That's all right.
I'm so tired. But the Dark Knight Returns became this kind of like every Batman story has to sort of spring from that.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to. You know, that's just something that a certain generation glommed onto. And I'm sure that there's people who grew up with Beware the Batman. And when they get a chance to tackle Batman, that will suddenly be very important. Or Batman Brave and the Bold, voiced by Diedrich Bader, the funny Batman. Like, that's going to come back, I am sure. Just give it time. These guiding aesthetics are mutable.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Anyway, Godzilla starts to attack, and Baragon is the first, our first line of defense. Baragon is the burrowing monster, you may recall. And Baragon burrows out of a mountain, flying leaps on Godzilla. It's a good wrestling fight. Like, it's an actual, like, knockdown, drag out. Mm. Baragon is giving it his all. And he's doing it without backup. When Mothra and King Ghidorah fight Godzilla, they're doing it together. Baragon has to fight Godzilla all on his own. And although he loses, he puts up one hell of a fight. As far as I'm concerned, Baragon redeemed. I was not a huge Baragon fan, but Baragon really tried to save Japan. And you know what? Kudos, buddy. Kudos. And Godzilla beats the living shit out of him.
Godzilla's evil.
Stomps him in the head, like, just, and hold on, let's see, what does he do? He, like, I wrote down all of these things. Just, like, crushing him with his tail. Oh, the poor guy. And, and he ends up vaporizing Baragon. And Baragon's soul is released. And that will be important later. We'll get to that. Oh, and I love this bit, during the fight, because there's, like, a helicopter flying around, like, reporting on it, and they're giving color commentary, and they immediately glom onto Baragon is the face.
Yeah.
They're saying things like, it's enormous, but quite cute, really. That's a tourist who says that. There's tourists who see Baragon coming, and they decide to take a picture with Baragon in the background, and then flee.
That's right.
Because they waited, they do die. There's a lot of incidental people dying. We just meet a guy, he's urinating. And then we see, oh no, it's an earthquake. His urine goes everywhere. Oh, how embarrassing. And then he dies. Because you might as well be super embarrassed right before you die. Which just seems like adding insult to injury. I don't know.
I guess you don't have to be embarrassed too long.
There's a line where the color commentators say, Godzilla's kicking the red monster in the gravel pits. And I don't think you're allowed to say that.
Right. That feels dirty. No. Right in the gravel pits.
The bunch of helicopters get destroyed. Oh, something I like in this one, they don't really bother with this on a lot of other Godzilla movies, is that when Godzilla uses his atomic breath, which he uses a lot in this movie, he has to inhale first.
He does that a lot.
He doesn't always have to inhale first.
Not all. I guess not.
I feel like that should be more of a part. Like Big Bad Wolf, you know. Boom.
Yeah, one of my least favorite details in Godzilla Minus One is Godzilla has the nuclear breath.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the filmmakers decided that his, like, fins need to extend, like he's a plastic toy.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of stick up further out of his back.
That's a weird bit. Like, yeah. I don't know what they were getting at. It's fun, but I don't know what
they're doing. I mean, they were looking for something visually fun, but it looks kind of dumb.
Yuri is in, like, a shelter with a whole bunch of, like, people who are, like, running from the attacks, and a little kid asks her, are monsters real? That's how kids sound. She says, guardian monsters are, and they're here to save us. And I'm like, yeah, but also Godzilla. Is he not a monster? What is he then? Is he the evil in all of us? Is he, like a vague concept? What are we going for here? But I do like that she becomes essentially a believer.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of interesting, and I feel like they could have done more with that. But she goes all in on this guardian monster thing.
Uh-huh.
And she's right, to be fair. Everyone tells her to go home. She ends up, like, buying a bicycle to chase down all the kaiju, and she hooks up, and I'm not sure technology was there in the early 2000s, but she hooks up a, like, off-the-rack digital video recorder.
You're right.
To, I guess, a portable laptop in her backpack, where she is transmitting a live feed, not, like, through, like, a satellite, like they would have, like, in, like, a camera van at the time, but, like, through Wi-Fi.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure that's a thing you can do, but she's, like, airing on this channel that does all of this, like... It would be like if the Sci-Fi Channel had the scoop of the century, you know? So, like, all of a sudden, this, like, you know, fake sci-fi news show all of a sudden is giving the actual news, and now it's like everyone's watching that. That's they're the only ones who are on the scene.
Uh-huh.
I kind of like that. I think that's kind of fun. Yeah, so she starts transmitting all of this real news stories and getting all of the top footage of what ends up being Mothra cocoons herself and flies out of it and starts attacking Godzilla. There's a bit where Mothra's first punch on Godzilla, she like flies at Godzilla and smacks him in the face. And then we cut to Godzilla and he lightly scratches his face. Like, oh, I'm sorry, is there a moth in the room? Oh, I just got hit by a moth. And Mothra's like, oh, you son of a... Mothra shoots like a whole bunch of stingers, which I guess Mothra can do in this version.
Everything's... The rules are out the window.
Nothing matters.
Yeah.
Nothing matters.
I think I was just kind of checking out at that point. Yeah.
You know, it kind of devolves at that point into mostly a bunch of action. I do appreciate that there's a bit where they realize that in the canon of this story, they haven't named any of these monsters. And someone says, hey, we should name the monsters.
Well, they keep calling them Monster 1 and Monster 2. And
it's like, yeah. We should just, for clarity's sake, we should name the monsters. And there's no explanation. There's no, like, I don't know. I guess that one kind of looks like my ex-boyfriend. His name was Steve Mothra. So I guess we'll call that one Mothra.
It's the prequel film, Steve Mothra.
I would pay to see that. So they randomly named them, and I would just love to, like, afterwards when they're interviewing everybody, why did you name it King Ghidorah? Why? What were you after there? It was... Okay, all right. Someone had a favorite. So, anyway, Mothra's all attacking and stuff, flying around. I do like that Mothra, like, flies up behind Godzilla and grapples his head. Because Mothra's, like, not that big, and so, like, Godzilla's like, ah, get off me. It's like when my cat jumps up in the back of my chair.
Well, we mentioned, though, that, you know, the suit is such that the actor inside can move in that human kind of a way. Mm-hmm. It's the effect is comedic more than anything. Yeah. Like, when Mothra's landing on Godzilla's head, it's like, just sort of like swatting at it. It looks silly.
It does. Meanwhile,
which is a weird thing to say because we're talking about a Godzilla movie, but
there's still a line. Yeah. And meanwhile, King Ghidorah wakes up, and he flies to the scene. And Yuri has a line where she says, "The guardian monsters are here. They're all here." And I'm like, "Baragon died.
So the rest are here.
I don't know. It seems a little disrespectful. Baragon did it all by himself. Nobody helped him." Nobody helped Baragon, the poor guy. Come on. Godzilla does something to King Ghidorah I've never seen him do before, where he double fists King Ghidorah's heads. Like, he grabs one head in one hand, one head in the other hand, and then bites the neck of the other one. Mm. And then when Mothra's like, okay, Godzilla's distracted with King Ghidorah, I can come up from behind and attack Godzilla. Godzilla wails on Mothra with his tail, because he's a multitasker extraordinaire. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of fucking badass, actually. Also, this is the only time when King Ghidorah is actually shorter than Godzilla, which they did on purpose. To, like, make Godzilla seem more threatening. Mm. Yeah.
King Ghidorah is the bad guy. Anyway, sorry.
Anyway, yeah.
But there's a during this big old fight, Mothra dies, and this is when Mothra... And we've seen this sort of thing before, where one monster will die and give its life force to another monster. That happened at the end of Godzilla versus Destoroyah.
Uh-huh. Something Mothra does in particular.
Yeah, Mothra's done it a couple
times.
There's
a cool shot with Mothra flying and her wings are on fire.
That was pretty cool.
Which I'll admit is pretty cool. I feel like if they're beating their wings that hard, the fire would go out, but whatever, it's badass. But yeah, she gets incinerated and turns into glitter, and then the glitter goes up to King Ghidorah, and now we've supercharged King Ghidorah.
And which we've done already with when we made Cyber King Ghidorah. Mecha King Ghidorah was from...
That was cooler, though. Yeah. Cyber King Ghidorah was pretty fucking badass.
I like the robot King Ghidorah.
Oh my god, that was so fucking cool. Anyway.
Godzilla versus King Ghidorah might be one of my favorite of the Godzilla movies.
It's at least one of the time travel ones. At least one of the best fights at the end. Jesus Christ. So King Ghidorah gets supercharged. It knocks Godzilla into the ocean, and they end up fighting underwater, like that one scene in Top Secret where they're all underwater and they like wander into an underwater saloon and have a Western saloon fight underwater. Classic. But the humans, who are feeling pretty ineffectual right about now, say to themselves, okay, all of our weapons didn't work against Godzilla, but King Ghidorah, when it attacked Godzilla, opened a wound. If we can shoot a missile into
right
that wound,
into the wound,
we think maybe we can blow Godzilla up from within. And so our hero's dad, right after he tells her, you're a real reporter, you can, I give you press access, you know, validation, like when Indiana Jones' father calls him Indiana. He gets in the Satsuma. They stick a torpedo on it. And he's going to go down there and try to shoot it into Godzilla. He has one guy there for backup to shoot torpedoes, and that guy accidentally shoots King Ghidorah.
And,
fucking idiot. King Ghidorah was our friend. But what he ends up doing is he ends up going into Godzilla's mouth, which is something similar happens in Godzilla Minus One. And you think he's going to, like, blow himself up in there, like a heroic sacrifice. But he'll be fine. He just ends up, like, shooting some stuff. And then Godzilla, when he tries to, like, blow things up with, like, his atomic breath, it ends up shooting outside of his wound instead.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool, actually.
It blocked up his throat, and now it's shooting out of his... He has monster stigmata, essentially. It's like the wound of Christ.
Jesus. Okay. Well, I guess so, huh? Yeah, so that's a whole thing. Godzilla blows King Ghidorah into chunks, but then, and like literally chunks, like flying around. But he ends up, he's no match for the ghosts of Baragon, Mothra, and King Ghidorah.
Yeah, this is when the dream demons from Freddy's Dead arise.
I don't know. They have nothing to do with those dreams. It's just three demons.
Visually, it looks like that.
No, it doesn't. Those were worm dudes, remember?
They're little.
They were worms. These are like glowing constellation giant monsters.
I don't know why. Reminded me of that.
Well, God knows I say ridiculous things. I'm not going to judge. So Godzilla's like, oh no.
And I thought I was inarticulate. And Godzilla's like, oh no. And I was like, whatever.
I was talking to my friend Zaphod, and he was like, whatever.
Zaphod's like, yo, this is cool. Because
If you don't know what we're talking about, look up
Liam Lynch's The United States of Whatever. It's the most 90s thing imaginable.
It's pretty great. With the combination of ghost monsters and dad in a submarine, they blow up Godzilla. Oh, and by the way, that old man we talked about who was like going around talking about, you're all doomed, ghosts and everywhere, turns out he's been dead for 50 years.
He was a ghost.
Which is just thrown in there. Like, we didn't even need that. They just threw that in there. Because why the fuck not? And then everything's fine. And then the camera like goes down into the ocean.
And this is the tease for the next movie.
Where Edgar Allan Poe's Godzilla. It's the beating of his hideous heart. Because his heart, Godzilla's heart, is at the bottom of the ocean. And it's beating. Bum, bum.
Oh, I'd love to see a version of the Telltale Heart.
Yeah.
Where, like, he's killed Godzilla.
Yeah.
And tries to hide the monster under his floorboards. But it only has the heart, but it's so big, like, there's the floor is buckling and you can see it, and the cops just don't see the heart.
I would like to see one where it's actually, they're all kaiju. And Anguirus goes mad and kills Godzilla in his sleep and tries to hide the body. And Varan is like, hey, what you guys doing over here? Oh, nothing. Bum, bum. Bum, bum. It's the beating of that hideous heart. Anguirus, what have you done?
Louder, louder.
No. I don't understand why this movie is so incredibly popular. It's like I'm honestly like I like the protagonist. Yeah. I think she's got a lot of great energy, a good personality. She's got a great Lois Lane quality to her that I really responded to.
Like a lot of the human characters in these Godzilla movies, she's completely sidelined for the last third of the movie while the monster mayhem happens.
Because here's the thing: when she's doing all the reporting, which you can argue is artificial, and I would actually argue that the hold on, I want to make sure I get her name right because she deserves credit here. Chiharu Niyama. She is really, really good at doing something that you need to be good at if you're going to be in a kaiju movie. Or really any movie with a bunch of, like, off-camera elements that we're going to add later in post. Mm. You need to be able to react to shit convincingly. Mm-hmm. I buy her reacting to all the off-camera monster stuff. I buy her, like, reacting to the changes in the drama. Like, oh no, Baragon! Like, I buy her emotional investment in everything that's happening.
Okay.
In a way that I don't always. And I think that's admirable. So I like that. I think that makes her feel like she's really present. That doesn't make her feel like she's...
That's fair.
She's not there. But it actually does tie in a little bit, because what she is doing is she is recording for posterity history that, frankly, they might want to sweep under the rug. And that's the whole point of this movie, is that Godzilla exists to remind this country of its shame, things that it has done that in the past that it should not be proud of.
Maybe it's that theme that made the film so popular.
Maybe.
This idea of Godzilla. I argued a lot that in the Heisei era, Godzilla was absolved of his connection to World War II. In Godzilla versus King Ghidorah, the origin changes. Godzilla was no longer born of the nuclear bomb in World War II. It was a new nuclear bomb. It was something that we did deliberately, specifically to create a Godzilla to fight King Ghidorah.
Yeah,
King Ghidorah was a slight
oversimplification, but basically, it was like a leaking nuclear sub this time.
What happened was because it was a time travel story. That's when they went back in time. Yeah. They dropped off those little.
They moved him to another island.
The time travelers left these future creatures behind. That was what got radiated by the bomb, and that was what created King Ghidorah.
Yeah, and they had moved Godzilla to another island, and then but he still ended up getting irradiated anyway. But I was under the impression, I may be remembering it wrong, that he was irradiated from like a leaking nuclear sub. Nearby. But regardless, his origin is no longer based off of the bomb.
Connected to the war. And I think that theme continued throughout the Heisei era. We're no longer dealing with the remnants of World War II.
Yeah.
And you could even say that about the first two Millennium movies. Yeah. They don't mention World War II a lot.
One of them was more very explicitly about sort of eco themes.
Environmental.
Energy, yeah.
So maybe this was a way to sort of reclaim that old legacy of Godzilla.
I think that's pretty much what it is.
Reconnect Godzilla back to the war.
Yeah, and basically just say it's not just pointing it to, you know, the only like thing that we're talking about is the nuclear devastation, which is enough.
Mm.
But a lot of shit happened before that. And we need to reckon with that.
Yeah.
And so I think there is a certain commentary on the franchise. I think there's a certain commentary on people wanting to move on from the past and then ignore the past, which is just a thing humans do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Yuri's story in that she is trying to be a reporter and make sure people know exactly what's happening and why, and she has a speech to that effect, supports that.
Mm.
So I think that's actually one of the better protagonist sort of arcs that we've had so far. And we don't have a lot of great ones. But I think that's one of the better ones.
Yeah.
But
I still prefer Mickey, but you know.
Oh, Mickey was kick-ass. Don't get me wrong. Mickey is still... Until Godzilla Minus One, unless we run into one that... I mean, who else is...
You're going to like the badass pilot we're going to run into in Godzilla against Mechagodzilla.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Mm.
Love it. Awesome. But yeah, we you know, it's not the norm to have particularly memorable human heroes, and I think Yuri is one of the better ones. So that was one of the things that got me through this one. But yeah, I think the overall just visual take on Godzilla, it comes across like we don't have the rights to Godzilla. We're going to make a very similar Godzilla costume for this Coca-Cola commercial that we're doing, you know? And it just, it never quite reads.
Is he going to play basketball with Charles Barkley?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it never quite reads right to me. I can handle the change in the mythology. I'm not a fan of the aesthetic. Uh-huh. And I don't think that, I really undermined it for me and made it difficult for me to really latch on. Yeah, it's hardly the worst, but I'm not a huge fan. I would not consider this one of the better Godzilla movies.
I'm not too fond of it either. I think it's just the tone. Something about the tone is a little off. Yeah. Something about the storytelling is a little off.
They bring up how serious it is, but then it's mostly goofy.
And the monsters look really cartoony. Yeah.
King Ghidorah has a weird puppet looking face.
Yeah, they got bigger eyes and they're a little bit more friendly looking.
You know what Baragon looks like? A boglin.
Looks a lot like a boglin. Remember boglins? Those toys from the 80s.
There was these
rubber hand puppets. Yeah,
they were rubber hand puppets, but they looked like, you know, little demons, like from the movie Ghoulies. Yeah. And that was the whole thing. You could buy creepy boglins. I had a boglin. It was great.
Yeah, they were like green and gray and like little warty things. And they were cool puppets because you could like swivel their eyes from inside.
Yeah, good articulation.
Pretty sophisticated.
Yeah. It's a less popular than, but I would argue a damn sight better than Madballs.
Well, I'm very don't impugn Madballs.
Madballs, but here's
very the fond of the Madballs.
Madballs were great designs, but they weren't great balls.
No, they didn't bounce.
Boglins at least did what they were supposed to do. Yeah, they were hand puppets.
You could play catch with Madballs. That was pretty much it.
Yeah, I would argue that. Yeah, so I'm so dispassionate about this one.
Well, it's difficult to really nail down exactly what's not working about it. Yeah. And I think it might just be that. That cartoonishness of it. We're talking about how it's rebooting Godzilla's legacy, reconnecting Godzilla to the war, making him a spirit of vengeance left over from World War II.
Yeah.
But it's hard to really take those themes seriously when the film seems so like light and mayhem forward.
And again, this might be one of the reasons why it was such a subconscious influence on Godzilla Minus One, which is we're going to remove the light mayhem.
Yeah.
And we're going to actually dig in.
A wartime drama.
Yeah, we're going to dig into that theme. We're going to make that the raison d'etre, and we're not going to detract from that in any way. And if you think about it, there's actually some similarities between the protagonist of Godzilla Minus One and the dad in this movie. Not a lot, but enough that you could probably write a paragraph in a college paper about that.
Yeah, right.
I would argue Godzilla Minus One takes what this threw down and perfect it might be a bit of hyperbole, definitely made it better. Yeah, but this I get it. There's a lot of mayhem. That's fine. I've seen better mayhem. I would say Megaguirus had a better fight.
Yeah, I was about to say Megaguirus was the Megaguirus.
Megaguirus. Okay, what are some of the best fights we've had? Megaguirus was one of the best fights. Yeah. Cyber Ghidorah was definitely one of the best fights.
Yeah.
I would argue that. Especially the first Gigant fight, where he was taking hostages. God, I love that fucker. What a fucking great guy. Okay. Bless him for that.
You're gonna like Godzilla Final Wars because Gigant is like the final boss.
Damn right he is.
And it's not just Gigant; it's like Super Gigant with chainsaw hands.
I'm telling you, man. Every time you cyberfy a kaiju, you make it better. Which is why I'm looking forward to Godzilla X Kong, because they give Kong like a robot.
Like they give him a power glove.
They give him a power glove, which is, you know what? Fucking bless you for that. We're not even pretending that's serious anymore.
They're fine. You know what? The last one was silly, and they're just rolling with it. Yeah, they finally figured it out.
Good for Godzilla. Yeah, it's if you
Godzilla if you, Godzilla if you versus skip. Kong is like the first legitimately good American Godzilla movie.
I would say this: if you watched just the first legendary monster versus Godzilla movie, and then you skipped to Godzilla versus Kong, you're like, what the fuck happened? Jesus, my God, why are there conspiracy podcasters? What's going on? Anyway, that's the end of this episode. It's such a strange thing. But next time on.
I'm sorry we can't really dig into this one. It's just not a lot to dig into.
Weird, yeah, it's unfortunate.
It's not just that we're tired and inarticulate. It's just there's not a lot to this movie.
No, they can't all be winners. And I know a lot of people love this one, and I wish I did too, but it didn't connect with me. But next time,
here's a little hint, and I discovered this last week when I was reading up on the movie. It debuted in November of 2001 in Japan.
Yeah.
And it was a double feature.
Yeah.
With a film called Hamtaro.
Yeah.
Adventures in Ham Ham Land.
Yep.
An animated film about an adorable little hamster.
Yeah.
The Hamtaro is also a TV series. Like, yeah, it's a franchise unto itself.
Yeah.
You're showing this with an animated hamster movie.
Yeah.
This is a kiddie matinee. Now, a lot of the Godzilla films from the Showa era were very clearly kiddie matinees.
Especially the late Showa era.
Even the more like serious-minded ones, like they got ape aliens and all kinds of mecha Godzillas, all these weird ones from like, yeah, especially once we crept into the 70s, there was, All Monsters Attack,
Which is just a kid's movie.
It's just a straight-up kid's movie. It's about a kid who's having dreams about, you know, meeting Minilla. I'm okay with the idea of Godzilla being really kid-friendly, but what are we doing here?
They want to have their cake and eat it, too. And the problem with that is...
They wanted, a heady, serious sci-fi movie that's also, like, really kiddified and friendly.
Yeah.
And those two things don't go terribly well together here.
Maybe you could do it, but I don't think they did a particularly good job. And I think when they're focusing on one or the other...
Uh-huh.
It kind of works, but when they're trying to marry the two, it's pretty awkward.
Yeah.
You know, we can't all like the same things, and that's okay. That's what makes the world interesting. So, that's it for this week's episode of Thank Godzilla. It's Friday. We'll be back next week with Godzilla. Godzilla's just playing against Mechagodzilla. just everything Mechagodzilla stands for. Just I'm against it.
Whatever it is, I'm against it.
Yep. It's Godzilla against Mechagodzilla. Mechagodzilla's back, and Godzilla's going to be up against that.
We had Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla.
Yes.
Then we had Terror of Mechagodzilla.
Yes.
Then in the Heisei era, we had the completely unconnected Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2.
Yes.
And this is the one where I had confused the two. This is the one where they build Mechagodzilla around the skeleton of the salvaged first Godzilla.
Okay.
So it's like Godzilla's bones are in that thing.
Good.
Fighting and we're going to go back to the millennial era design of Godzilla.
Okay.
So it's not going to be the silver-eyed one anymore.
I accept that we're just rewriting history over and over.
We're rewriting history over and over again, or we can just think of GMK as this little aside, this little side project, and the other ones are connected, they just have really shitty continuity.
Here's what it is with GMK. I feel like GMK feels like a Godzilla movie made, and I'm not accusing anybody of this, but this is the vibe it has. It feels like a Godzilla movie made by someone who has heard of Godzilla a little bit and kind of pieced it together from what they think it's about.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of interesting in its own right, but it's like, I just keep thinking about how, like, you know, there will come a day when someone is bold enough to do this with, like, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We're like, okay, what's this next Marvel movie about? Well, Spider-Man is on a killing spree, and Red Skull and
And El Santo have to team up.
Yeah, and you're just like, wait, what? Yeah, that's what we're doing. It's, you know Marvel, right? You know those characters? I know more about them than you do.
I can't wait until the mainstream
just
goes full Three Deva Dumb on us.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what they're doing with these multiverse movies.
Yeah, it's like, we're just going to do whatever we want now. Yeah.
I was bummed out, and I really hope that it's not too late, that the Spider-Verse movies should have the Spider-Man from Three Deva Dumb in there somewhere. Just a background gag. I would be happy with a background gag.
All the other obscure characters. Why not that one?
Just put him in there. It's fine. He's got a distinct costume. We'll be able to make him out. Just put him in there. One shot. I'll be happy. Just tell me that's real.
He should be the villain. That's all.
Well, that would be great. That's fine. But like, seriously, make it so. Anyway. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for joining us. If you want to listen to our upcoming episode about Godzilla against Mechagodzilla right now, if you're listening on the main feed, you can go to our Patreon, patreon.com/criticallyacclaimednetwork. You get all new episodes ad-free, and you get all episodes of Thank Godzilla It's Friday 1 week early. If you are listening to this on the Patreon page, I'm sorry, you have to wait a week. but you got this one a week early, so there's that.
Thank you.
I just can't win. Okay. Feel free to chime in. Tell us what you think about stuff. Our email address is letters@criticallyacclaimed.net. Whitney, what is our P.O. Box? Yeah,
send us a physical letter to the Critically Acclaimed Network, P.O. Box 641565, Los Angeles, California, 90064.
Yeah, we're on the social medias. I'm at William Bibbiani.
I'm at Whitney Seibold.
We're at Critic Acclaim. Ha ha. And
it's not really a ha-ha moment. Or...
I'm so tired. Anyway, we're gonna go sleeps. Thank you everybody because you're being really cool. And rar and stuff.
Godzilla.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.